22. And no, Brother Scott, I did not send those to you. Luke chapter 22. This morning, the question is, who did Jesus arise for? Who did the Lord Jesus Christ arise for? Now, if you know your Bible at all, you already know that answer. But what is amazing to me, whether it be in our seminaries, churches, all across the country, all across the world, most do not realize that Jesus Christ is God, that he had died and arose again. Now, you might say to me, well, you mean the question should be, who did the Lord Jesus die for? No, it should not be that question, because he's not dead. He's alive. He's risen again, and he's seated in all power and all glory in heaven. Now, there's a lot going on right now in the Middle East, as you know. And what part of this has anything has to do with future and whatnot? We don't know quite yet, but there's a good possibility it could be getting closer and closer as we speak. Only and basically because of all that Israel is doing, and no one is stopping Israel right now. I think it's something to take hold of the blessings of the scriptures of anyone that helps his people. And that's with the United States. The only reason why the United States is not destroyed is because we have helped his people. We are already doing enough to destroy ourselves. The Democratic Party has become a domestic terrorist group in the United States. The Republicans are helping them. I don't know so much. There are a couple out there that are trying to hold fast. But for the most part, our politicians have become a terrorist organization. And you say, well, how is that? Well, when Maxine Waters and many of other politicians ask for blood in the streets like Chuck Schumer has, they have asked for the American people to basically harm, hurt, injure, or kill anybody who stands with Donald Trump. And that's such a shame. It used to be that we were a country that had respect and had love for one another, but we are not that away anymore. It is amazing what is going on in our world at this time with the economic system. We're worried about the flow of oil across the globe. We are concerned about stock markets and all this and that. And, you know, of course, there's a bunch of them that have been doing the insider trading, like Nancy Pelosi, that can go to a $400 million portfolio. Y'all do realize that. That the politicians, that many people, if you're one of them in this group or watching me and you have voted for them like Obama and Pelosi and many of the others, you have to understand you have basically been voting them into power for them to stuff their pockets while they're emptying yours. That's what socialism does, and that's what communism does. Right. And I want you to know, we saw that in Luke chapter 16 in the first part, that is the world's system. Now, you may not like what I have said, but I don't care. It is the truth. Amen. It is the truth. And Lord only knows how much of the corruption and how much fraud has happened in the state of Michigan. I don't know about you, but the roads after 8 years of Governor Whitmer, they are not fixed. She lied like the rest of them do. Amen. So what do? We have to look to the risen one. Now, I know on the calendar today is Easter Sunday, but I want you to know that really November or April the 5th is no more important than April the 4th or the 6th. Now, to me, April 5th is very important. I'm trying to remember whose birthday. Oh, it's Matt Allen's birthday today. Happy birthday, Brother Matt. I love you. Today is also one of my best friends in the world, their anniversaries, and how in the world Brother Ray can put up with, how Sister Rachel can, how either one of them can put up with either one of them. 23 years ago today, they said, I do. They've been faithful to one another. They have loved one another. They've had four wonderful sons. Okay, three wonderful sons and Caden. They have had numerous dogs. Okay, maybe two. And one's still a knucklehead. Well, it's a UP dog. What do you expect? Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, Miss Margie. Those Southern Canadian dogs are just different. Amen. But I am so thankful today that because of the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else, Ray and Rachel celebrate 23 years together. And I love and appreciate you two greatly. Beloved, only through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, you say, wait a minute. You're not making much of his death. He had to die. And we know that part of the gospel story, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is his death, burial, and resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ died. He suffered our sufferings. He died for our sins. But he also arose again to give us a living Savior. Now, many men and women have died for my country. Somebody has asked me, why do you pledge allegiance to the flag? Because I do it in respect and honor of all those that have shed their blood on the battlefield. There are many, many stories I wish I could tell you about the battlefield today. But one I was reminded of this morning was our first president, George W. Washington. They said that he was bulletproof. When he was a courier for the British during the French and Indian War, guns and rifle, you know, the old-fashioned rifle, the musket was out there, and they had arrows. And when they went up against a group of Indians, they shot at him 17 times and did not, 21 times, and did not hit him but his clothing. It was said that when he was not yet president, that tribal chief of that Indians heard that he was in the area, and he told his scouts, please take me, I want to meet this man. When they had that meeting, according to the story, by the way, used to be taught in history books, but they took it out because it wasn't politically correct. Forget them, and you ought to teach the truth. Anyway, in this story, the old chief at that time, met with him, and they had their greetings and whatnot. And the chief told him, he said, I am a sharp shooter with everything. I shot at you and shot at you, but you did not die. That's why they called him bulletproof. It is true, and there's a number of places on his coat and other places where bullets or where arrows went through, but they never hit him. That was because of God. He and many other soldiers, now there was a lot of other soldiers that weren't that lucky. Many of them lost their lives and shed their blood so that you and I can sit here freely and read this precious book. It is important to note, if Jesus is in the grave, he is not my Savior. But because he has arisen again and seated at the throne of grace, at the power of God, because of that, he is my Savior. Some 51 years ago, the bus drivers began to tell us this, and the Sunday school teachers and the children's church workers at Parish Bible Church began to tell us 51 years ago that Jesus died and arose again. He died and he arose again. Who did the Lord Jesus arise for? Look at chapter 22 and verse number 1 with me, please. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Who did Jesus arise for? Who did he die for? Who did he come here for? Beloved, I think that's a very simple answer, and it ought to be one that's not argued, but it's unfortunate that it's argued. To the Muslim, he's just a great prophet. And by the way, Sharia law and Islam is against Christianity, and it is against the Constitution of the United States. Listen, Islam is a terrorist organization against anything righteous and holy. They hate Israel. Excuse me. They hate anything of God. I don't know why, but my nose starts running all of a sudden. They hate anything that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, our Lord Jesus told us that if they hate me, they're going to hate you in John chapter 15. But beloved, I'd rather be hated and loved by God than loved by the world and hated by God. Yes, that's right. God hates. Psalm chapter 5, verse 5, and many other passages. But who did the Lord Jesus arise for? Who did the Lord Jesus take on flesh for? Who did he come down from heaven's glory, and who did he leave? Who did the Lord Jesus Christ leave heaven's glory for? You ever thought about that? Now, I've had some arguments with some independent Baptist preachers, and it seems to me that they actually think that the Lord Jesus Christ only died for a specific group. I've talked to men, whether they be Presbyterian, Nazarene, or Catholic, or whatever other they might be, and of course, many of them, they just give lip service to the resurrection, like the Catholic Church will, and many other churches across the world. They speak of him, but their heart is far from them. Who did the Lord Jesus Christ leave heaven's glory for? It's not a question, but many will ask that question because they'll say, oh, he was just a great man. But there is no other individual to live on this earth that has more evidence of their existence on earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a birth certificate at Vigo County, Indiana, which is Terre Haute. My wife has a birth certificate listed on the rolls in Danville, Illinois. Where you were born, they have a register of your birth and an official birth certificate. And by the way, those birth certificates, they basically legally say that you're owned by the state and that they're allowing your parents to raise you. You do know that. That's all a birth certificate's about. Thankfully, I lived amongst a bunch of folks that lived and died for the United States of America, that love the Lord, and of course there was no state agency, no federal agency is going to tell them that those weren't their kids. And we were raised strong, we were raised to work, we were raised to think. We were raised to be men and women. At 4 and 5 years of age, taking water and feeding a dog or food in for the dog, taught early. Because you're going to be an adult a whole lot longer than you're going to be a child. So why not at birth begin to raise them to be useful adults for the Lord Jesus, useful adults in society, which we have a society, but because they don't see the Lord Jesus in the way you and I do, in the way this Bible teaches, because of that, we have become a restless society. We have become a sodomite society. This week, in speaking to one of the missionaries, which I can joke and kid with, he was saying this and saying that. I said, well, that sounds like the sodomite in you. What? Sodomite? Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 50. I had to take and educate him that what he was telling me was that of laziness, gluttony, and arrogance, which were the sins of Sodom according to the word of God in Ezekiel chapter 16. And he was offended at first. And then I sat there and read that scripture and I said, you see, this is who we are. And how many times Sodom and Gomorrah is mentioned? How many times do we see that spirit of Antichrist, which is then shows up in 1 John chapter 2, it's the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. That's all the same three main sins of this body. We are all sinners. That's why the Lord Jesus had to die. Who did the Lord Jesus leave heaven for? Who did the Lord Jesus Christ suffer for? Who did the Lord Jesus Christ die for? Who did the Lord Jesus Christ arise for is the question. We can go on and on and on and on in theological debate in our seminaries, or cemeteries, I like to call them. We have been asked this week, many a time I've been asked, what would you do with a preacher boy? Keep him at home, raise him up, teach him how to preach, teach him how to witness, teach him how to hand out tracts, teach him how to study, and then after a couple years, send him off as the Lord leads. That's what we do. There's not a Bible college alive. There's not a Bible college today that is truly doing anything for the Lord Jesus in a righteous way. And if anybody wants to stand me to my face, that's fine. I'm telling you, I've done that. I took my family here, and I took my family there, and I thought this was the right thing to do, and this was the right thing to do. And you know what? We wasted a lot of days, a lot of minutes, and a lot of hours in ministry trying to do it man's way. Who did the Lord Jesus arise for? Well, friends, we already know the answer. But in this passage, I'd like to look at a few of them, if it'd be all right. In chapter 22, verses 1 through 6 that we read, the Lord Jesus died for the fake disciple. Look with me, if you would, please, at verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. Now, yes, you will agree with me that he died and arose again for Caiaphas, the high priest. For the very ones that wanted to kill him. He died for those that were thinking on how they could kill him and get rid of him. But for me, as I studied the scriptures, not only do I know that, but let me go on to something maybe I don't know. In verse number 3, he arose again for the fake disciple. He arose again for the fake disciple. Now this individual is saved by grace through faith. But how many of them out there, all they have is their fire insurance? And because of that, they have faked their way into the church house. They have faked their way and faked their way and faked their way. Sooner or later, they'll show their true colors. They will. Something comes up where we need a special love offering. They'll be the last one to put a dollar in if they put anything in. We have some church work down at the church house that needs to be done. That individual will be the last one that shows up and might stick around for a minute or two. I remember when I first came here to Walker, we had one gentleman. He was very good about drinking coffee and eating donuts. But he was very, very lazy. All the time trying to get out of the work. You know, he was that fella that would say, this shovel does not fit my hands. Beloved, we have a lot of fake disciples in the church house. And that's who Judas was. But not only is he arose again for the fake disciple, but he arose again for the arrogant disciple. Look at verse number 24. Verse number 24 of this same chapter. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Beloved, the Lord Jesus makes mention of the arrogant disciple. So they're all arguing in verse 24. There's strife among them as to who should be accounted the greatest. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? You know, there are a lot of preachers like that today. I know of a couple. I've told you before how that one in particular, which I had met a couple times but didn't know much about him. We had seen him at a certain church, and my sons, we were down there, and I mentioned to him and said hello to his name and whatnot and introduced myself personally because he didn't care whether I walked or breathed on this earth. He didn't care. But he's this big-name evangelist. Oh, yeah, big-time, God-fearing, thundering preacher of the Word of God. He was everything and anything, and he was all that, then some in a bag of chips, according to himself. And I remember that he says to me, well, you know, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I'm not taking any new meetings. Of course, you know, the smart aleck in me said to him, sir, I wouldn't ask you for a meeting. Even if you paid me to come preach, I am not going to have you come preach at my church. I don't want you anywhere. You're 8 miles away from the pulpit. That's too close for me. And then afterwards, me and the boys and Sister Jamie were eating or doing something, and the boys said, did you see all the bling that was on his hand? You know, back then, and bling was a big word. I don't know if they still use the word bling now, or they. I think I've heard icing maybe or something. Anyway, that's all my son, the arrogant disciple. By the way, friend, he died and arose again for the arrogant disciple as well. It's no matter who's the greatest. I mean, if you think about it, it is so true that he that serveth could care less whether they're considered the greatest or not. Who did the Lord Jesus arise for? Look at verse 31. He arose for the denying disciple. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. That's the denying disciple. He arose again for the denying disciple. That one that is pressured, and all of a sudden they say, oh, no, I'm not that person. I'm not that person. The Columbine High School, the Columbine School in the Denver, Colorado area in the mid-90s. Two shooters had shown up with shotguns, gone into a classroom. The first one that they shot and killed, they asked, are there any Christians in here? And a little girl raised her hand and said, I'm a Christian. And they shot her at point-blank range with a shotgun. That has happened. There was a Christian school where a transgender took a rifle in there and began to shoot it up. And there's been many others. Matter of fact, we've had those some politicians in our country glorify the very one who tried to kill President Trump. Beloved, that's the denying disciple. Thankfully, that little girl was not denying it, was she? She stood up and she became a martyr. That's what that is. That's a martyr. I will have to say, in knowing some of Charlie Kirk's doctrine, I will say I believe he's in heaven's glory. But the fact is, he is a martyr. We live in that day and age where Christians are still killed in Russia and Ukraine. We know of missionaries telling us of many that have been killed in the Philippines, Peru, Chile, and all across this world. Christians killed here in the United States in the 1600s and 1700s in places like Virginia, Maryland, and many other places, New York, Pennsylvania. That's right, Christians on American soil in the past history of the United States. Christians killed in the last year and 5 years right here in the United States of America. Well, beloved, I want you to know that there are denying disciples that he arose for, but he also arose for those that do not deny him. Those ones that stand for him. On this resurrection day, and by the way, if you don't celebrate resurrection day every day, then you are a fake Christian. You're an arrogant Christian. You're a denying Christian. And I pray none of us are that away. But if left to ourselves without the Word of God and without a prayer life, that's what you become. You become that fake disciple. And boy, I've met a lot of them. We were sitting in Monticello at Charity Baptist Church or some, I can't remember the name, I think it's Charity, Monticello, Florida. Sitting back in the fellowship hall and heard some preaching. I think that was the day I preached and Sister Demp sang that day. And boy, we had a time now. Sister Demp's and Brother Demp's, Brother Demp's 10 million time better preacher than I could ever be. And but his dear precious wife, they were professional singers. And she sang a song. She used to call me a little Pentecostal buddy. I said, ma'am, I'm a Babticostal buddy. She said, I understand that. But old Sister Demp sang that morning and we preached. And I mean, the Lord worked. The Lord moved. And a lot of people weren't happy with what I had to say. But we gave the word that morning, and while we're sitting in the back, I had a couple of missionaries, Jamie and I, and I know the kids were there. I just can't remember where they're at. They might have been sitting beside me or whatnot. Micah was probably looking for a chicken bone, and David was looking for something to eat because he can hear. And Morgan, she's being friendly and whatnot, and we're talking to some. One evangelist walked up, and he said, all right, well, enough of that. Very much an arrogant. And I've been around so many of them like that, and it's such a shame. Now, here's the problem. The main problem with that is I not become that. Because it's so easy to become that. When you're extremely handsome as I am, it's real easy to become arrogant. Who did the Lord Jesus Christ arise for? He arose again for mocking individuals. Look at verse 63 of chapter 22. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smite thee?" You know, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but mine goes here. What if the Lord Jesus started saying, "Hey, Jerry, that was you that did that. I know about your 3 estranged wives. I know about your 12 kids. Hey, I know about where you was born," and start listing his mom and daddy's name and his grandparents' name. Could you imagine that? The Lord Jesus could have done that. But you have to understand, listen, beloved, the reason why it doesn't seem like he's fighting back, because he didn't come as the Lion of Judah. He came as the Lamb that you and I needed to die and arise again. He had to keep his mouth shut. He could have, as a songwriter said, he could have called 10,000 angels. But what good would that have done you and I in 2026? So he arose again for the fake disciple. He arose again for the arrogant disciple. He arose again for the denying disciple. He arose again for the mocking individual. Isn't that amazing? He knows everything about you. And he arose again for you and I. Well, look at verse 71. He arose again for the hateful individual. Look at verse 71 of chapter 22 here. And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his out of his own mouth." Boy, those Sadducees and Pharisees and Caiaphas the high priest and that religious order, those politicians of the day, hated him. Do you know and realize that the very ones that hated him and mocked him were the very ones he arose again for? Undeserving, that's what we are. That's why it's called grace. Grace is the righteous work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Well, you think about it now, the things that we don't deserve. I don't deserve the friendship of Bency Martinez. I don't deserve the love and admiration of Tommy and Titus. I don't deserve my hand being held by Sister Jamie. I don't deserve 2 of the greatest people that's ever lived in my life, and Ray and Rachel. I don't deserve the smile from Sister Margie, my dear sister. I don't deserve a young man like Brother Josh Richards following a pastor like me. I don't deserve those things. But because of the marvelous grace of God. Because see, my flesh hates God. But thank God that he saved my soul. Thank God he sealed me to the day of redemption. Thank God I no longer am under the burden of my sin. That's grace. Who did he die for? He died for the hateful individual. Oh, beloved, look at chapter 23 and verse number 18 with me. Verse number 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for the murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him." Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ died and arose again for hateful individuals. Hateful. Now, the list is very long on who hates God. But if you don't mind for just a moment, I'd like to say to you that my flesh will hate God. And so will yours. The flesh of every individual will hate God. Yes, the politician, for the most part, hates God Almighty. You do understand that. There are many individuals that hate the United States of America.
Yep. Amen.
Are you listening? Your politician, your governor, your mayor, those that are on the city council, those that are on the county council, those individuals hate God. How do I know that? By the decisions that they make. Let me ask this question. Do you think a perverted book ought to be put into children's libraries? Well, no. Common sense says no. But how many videos I have seen over the last few years because of our education department that ought to be just shut completely down. Jimmy Carter put that all into action in the 70s. What a foolish leader. And because of that, our education in the United States is the worst in the world. No way. Go check out the test scores. Some of these kids cannot spell cat. They cannot. And what a shame it is. But in these videos that I've seen, parents will stand up and begin to read books that are in there that are full of vulgarity. And the city council people, they want to shut them down immediately. And they'll say this, how do you allow that book into the library, but I can't read it in front of you? That's our society. Mocking individuals, hating individuals, which also leads me to one more. And that's the accusing individual. Who did the Lord Jesus arise for? The accusing individual. Look at chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. These are the accusing individuals. There's a lot of that going on. A lot of that. Just over here in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, there are those that hate, mock, and accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. Islam. Islam is one of the greatest enemies of the American people, and it's right here at our doors. One of the greatest enemies are those that want to accuse good and make good evil, and they want to accept evil as good. Transgender. Just this week I had to deal with that, and I put my foot down. No one will ever tell me how to speak to any individual. Amen. It's not going to happen.
Yep.
Now I'm going to have some sense in how to handle that individual. I'm going to have some sense to show great compassion to that individual, hoping and praying that a door will be opened to where I can explain to them that the Lord Jesus Christ arose again to save their soul. I don't ever want to ruin it, but I'm not going to worry about your pronouns. I'm not going to worry about your feelings. Now I hope and pray that I live my life like the Lord Jesus did, where the publicans and sinners sat with him in Luke chapter 15 and ate dinner with him. That's the noontime meal for those of you from Michigan. Are y'all with me? The Lord Jesus arose again. For who? Well, we already know that answer. If you've read your Bible or studied, he arose again for the fake disciple, the arrogant disciple, the denying disciple. He arose again for the mocking individual, for the hateful individual, for the accusing individual. The Lord Jesus Christ died and arose again for whosoever believeth on him. Plain and simple. That whosoever can be short. That whosoever can be chunky, that whosoever can be tall, that whosoever can be from the UP, that whosoever can be from the trolls of under the bridge, that whosoever can be those great people who've had the privilege of living in the state of Indiana. Hallelujah. Boy, y'all need to get right with God and say amen. Hey, I know paradise is up in the UP. But I'm going to tell you right now where paradise is. Paradise is on a lake shore down in Vigo County, Indiana, or Vermilion County, Indiana, with a fishing pole in your hand, plenty of worms to feed the fishes with. I'll take you to paradise. Let me take you to some old strip pits where they filled it up with water and stocked them with fish, and hallelujah, you can go to fishing. I found paradise in Edgar County, Illinois, out at the Cheatham's Farm, where we used to go fishing a lot. That's paradise. Amen. But let me say this to you. Paradise is anywhere that the Lord Jesus is. And he died and arose again for whosoever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Who did the Lord Jesus Christ arise for? He arose for the fake disciple. He arose for the arrogant disciple. He arose for the denying disciple. He arose for the mocking individual. He arose for the hateful individual. He arose for the accusing individual. He arose again for whosoever believeth on him. Acts 2 and verse number 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care what your argument is this morning, how you want to debate it. All an individual needs to do is understand that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. He arose again. Lord Jesus, save my soul. Yep. Well, how do I know that? I didn't write this verse in there, but I want to take us there. Acts in chapter number... Oh, come on, David. Go there. Y'all, please forgive me because it just escaped my mind. Man, that was good preaching, and I went and messed it up with my brain. Chapter 8, verse 37. Thank you, ma'am. That's exactly where I was going. Amen. Thank you. And I even got it marked here. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. This is chapter 8 and verse number 35 of Acts. I should have wrote her down. As a matter of fact, I was thinking it while I was writing these little notes. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Water baptism ain't going to do it. Amen. Whether you like it or not. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Did you give him a prayer? Oh, Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need to be saved. Would you forgive me of my sin and save my soul? Amen. Pray after me. I used to do that. I did, until I understood what true salvation is all about. As I told you before, as the Lord saved me that morning in August 6th in 1975, Lord Jesus, save my soul. Forgive me my sin. Please save my soul. I've had the great privilege of being in the birthing room of the Holy Spirit and watched many, many, many souls be born again in the family of God. Oh, what a great place to be. I was there the night that my brother Bill was saved at Camp Assurance. I was there the night that my dad was saved at Horace Baptist. I was there when at Pensacola Christian, September 15th, 1991, when the Lord Jesus saved my wife. I was there when my little girl, I remember when my little girl got saved. I remember when my first boy got saved and then my second boy got saved. Hallelujah for that. I pray that my grandsons know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's very simple, Lord Jesus, I know that thou art the Son of God. Save my soul, please. I know it to be true, Lord Jesus. You arose again for whosoever. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 10 and verse number 43. Who did the Lord Jesus Christ arise for? Look at verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The blood washed kind of salvation. not the water washed type of salvation. That's what he's speaking of here. I'm a blood wash, blood bought, born again individual. Who did he die for? Who did he arise for? Well, you're playing on words and you're splitting hairs. Oh, beloved, there's been a whole bunch of people die, but none of them arose again for me. Grandpa's still in the grave. Grandma Nellie's still in the grave. Dad is still in the grave. But not my Lord. Not my Savior. Not my King. Not my substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ arose again for whosoever. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a no-so salvation. It's not a maybe-so, hope-so, could-be-so, but it's an absolute no-so salvation. And of course, the last one. Chapter 16 of Acts and verse number 31. And I'm done. Who did the Lord Jesus arise for? Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. You know the beauty of these verses that I read about? The beauty of it is, it's believing on the one who arose again. It's believing on the one who gave his life and arose again for you and I to have life. Did y'all notice that it has nothing to do with how many times you go to church? Did you notice how many times in there that you're only saved or kept saved by how many verses you read every day? Did you also notice as to what you wear? Whether or not men you have a beard or ladies you wear slacks? Did y'all notice that in this, there's nothing in there that says anything about having to go to Bible college? There's nothing in there that says wearing a tie. There's nothing in there that says anything about wire rim glasses. There's nothing in there that says about this or says about that. Simple fact is, a whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In this passage, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's an absolute fact today. So who do we believe on? On the Lord Jesus. It's that simple. Lord Jesus, I know you're the Savior, and this morning I want to thank you for being my Savior. So who did he arise for? We can go on and on and on. He arose again for a white person. He arose again for a black person. He arose again for a tan person. He arose again for a green person. He arose again for a blue person. He arose, right? We can talk about all these different colored individuals. The fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus Christ, for whosoever will believe on him. That's the biblical truth. Has nothing to do with preordained. Some go to heaven, some go. No. There's no such thing as that. Who can be saved? Anyone. Now I will say, God knows. God knows who will believe and won't believe. Those that will accept rather than those who reject. I know he does. But therefore, I must take the gospel to every creature, to every person, to every individual. Who did he arise for? Thank God. He arose from those that are from the UP. Amen. He arose again from those from the MIT. He arose again for those who lived in the states of Illinois and Indiana. He arose again for those in Jerusalem. He arose again for those in London. He arose again for those in Tehran. He arose again for those in China. He arose again for drunkards. He arose again for harlots. He arose again for drug addicts. He arose again for arrogant, mocking. He arose again for whosoever. Father, thank you for this word, and I pray it's been a help for us today. We love you and appreciate you, God. Lord, there are some in my life that I've been praying that would be saved. If they're not, I've been praying for my grandsons. I've been praying for my friend here and my friend there. I've been praying for folks back home that have seen Jamie and I's walk all these 40 years together. And I pray, God, that they would be saved away from heresy, saved away from wickedness.
like many of our family members believing that they had their sins washed away by the water. Dear God, help Jamie and I to be a witness as we're going home, that they would see the truth of the Word of God rather than the vulgarity of wickedness in their own heart and from the hearts that they have followed. Lord Jesus, thank you that since the spring of 1975, you have kept the truth of the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God, the Savior of the Word of God, always up front in my way so that I would not be led astray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for raising me up at Parish Bible. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for raising me up at Horace Baptist Church and all the great men and women of God that you've put in my way all these 51 years of being around the church. Lord, I pray and I praise you and I thank you for that. Help us now to be those individuals that will do the same. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for rising again. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would, stand to your feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If God's working your heart, I want to open this invitation. Maybe you come pray for a few people that need to be saved. I don't know. Maybe you come and pray and thanking God for saving your soul. Maybe even right there in your pew, you can be just a praying. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying and arising again for me. But then while you're praying that, maybe you'd ask the Lord Jesus to help you find someone to tell the gospel to today. Or every day for that matter. God's working in your heart. Would you come on? God's working with your heart. You come on. If nobody comes forward in the next few moments, we'll end the invitation. If God's working in your heart, would you come on, please? Please? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't leave this room without knowing for sure. Know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. Please? Please, friends? Know that you know. I do. Do you know? There's some still praying. We'll end the invitation in just a moment. God's dealing with your heart. You come on, please. Amen. If you look this way, love y'all. Jamie and I are heading for paradise in about 30 minutes, 20 minutes. All right. Now, paradise is further south. It doesn't go to north. Not up there where all that nasty snow's at. They're getting more next couple days. And, white beaches. I don't think them's white beaches like I like them. Amen. It has to be above 70 to enjoy a good beach. I'm going to tell you. Well, you can. Yeah, you're going to go. There's no such thing as ice fishing. I'm going to tell you what, y'all. The Mills family needs. Mom and Dad Mills need Jesus. Love y'all very much. Pray for Dawn. She's really going through it. And anyway, be a praying there if you would please. Pray for Brother Mills's dad. Paul Mills is having a really rough time. Mom is too, so. We'll be back Wednesday, though, I promise you. Father, Lord Jesus, I want to glorify you for loving us, for your plan of salvation and not ours. I praise you for it. Ask you now that you would be glorified and praised in our worship, reading of your word, and declaring your word. I pray this, Lord Jesus Christ, we as a church have done our best to be a lighthouse on this hill. But Lord Jesus, we also know that we cannot save souls like you can. I pray that if there's anybody that's heard this message not saved, you'd save them. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for rising for us in Jesus' name. Amen.